Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13 is where we'll begin, and we'll read verses 13 through 16. If you can stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to. Proverbs 21, 13 through 16. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you. We pray that you would open up our eyes to the interpretation of these verses. But then, Lord, as we think of applications that apply to our lives, we pray that you would help us to make pertinent, accurate applications. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. So begin this verse 13 there. We look at the statement there, but whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor. Well, I think there's the obvious understatement there that it's, or the underlying statement that these are poor that are in need of help, people that need help. And so you've got these that are, you know, they're stopping their ears at the cry of the poor. And Solomon here says, those that do that will themselves cry one day, and they will not be heard. Let's take a look at some verses about giving to the poor. Deuteronomy chapter 15, Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 11. If there be any among you, a poor man of one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. And that word want or wanteth, often in Scripture, and particularly in a context like this, is speaking of what they need, not what they... It's to do with their core needs, not with their wants. Every person has a bucket list or a wish list of things that they would like, but this is to do with their needs. Okay, so verse 9. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So verse 9 speaks of the year of release, when the people will be released from servanthood. Those that were indentured servants, they were made servants because of their debts, also release of debts. And so here he's saying, don't be thinking about the year of release and saying, okay, well, I know that I'll have to forgive that debt, so I'm not going to help that person. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Don't be stingy. Don't be upset about it. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. So the Lord's saying here, there's always going to be poor, and you need to open up your hand to them. And not to be greedy, not to be grieved, not to be stingy. And notice there the promise in the second half of verse 10. Because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works. You might say, well, I can't afford to help this person. Well, the Lord's going to bless you when you assist that person. And as we've spoken many times before, we have to be careful. We have to think through the situation. We need to be perceptive, diligent, prudent. We need to ask certain questions if need be to ascertain, is this really a need? You know, you get so many requests for help, and then you find out after the fact that the help that you gave was used for ulterior motives. And so the goal is that we find, if the Lord lays it upon our heart to help someone, that we do it. And I've used the example many times before, but it's such a touching example with Hudson Taylor. When, you know, Hudson Taylor was going to China, and he purposed in his heart that he was going to start living frugally even before he went to China. And so he started living that way in England, and he purposed that he would not ask for money. And that's something that's so very important to me. You know, when it comes to this world, you know, for instance, we don't have on our church website, we don't have a plea for help, for money, for donations, and we're not going to, because we have a Heavenly Father that has everything that we ever need. But anyway, digressing. So Hudson Taylor, he said, I'm not going to ask for money. And there are times when his boss did not pay him when he was supposed to, and he even chose not to cause a grief with his boss and just to take it to the Lord. And sometimes his boss would come in the middle of the night and say, I totally forgot to pay you. Here's your money. And the Lord just did that over and over. Well, Hudson Taylor was down to his last coin. It was a larger coin, but it was what he needed for the next day, for his meal. He had no other food. And then he gets a knock at the door, someone asking him to come pray with his dying wife. And so he says, okay, I'll go. And he follows him to this nasty part of town and finds this man's wife laying on a pallet on the floor, obviously very sick. And at that point, the husband says to him, and if there's anything you can do to help us, it would be so appreciated. And the obvious implication was helping us financially. And Hudson Taylor said, you know, he felt that coin in his pocket, and he was saying in his heart, Lord, if I could only exchange this and break it down to smaller coins so that I could give him a part of it. And not the whole thing. And the coin itself wasn't a large denomination, but it was not the smallest either. And he kept fighting with the Lord. He started praying, and his prayer was stilted. It was dry. He just knew it. So he stopped his prayer. He gave the man his coin. And then his heart was revived. He was able to pray, and you know, he went on his way. After he prayed, and as far as I understand, the woman took a measure of good health after that. I'm not sure if it was a full healing or what happened there, but things turned around in their life. He went home and wondering how he was going to have his breakfast the next day, because he had nothing, no food, no money. And an express messenger came with a parcel with way more money than he had given. Like, I don't know, something like 10 times as much. Unexpected money from a friend or a relative or something. And so the Lord just blessed him. So when we see a need, and it's a genuine need, and the Lord lays it upon our heart, just in the same way he did to Hudson Taylor, we need to give, and not grudgingly. That one of those favorite verses of mine is Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You don't lend to the poor, you lend unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. He'll pay him again. And we see from other scriptures that the Lord, he fills our cup and it's overflowing. It's more than we actually need. So we're actually lending to God. We're not lending to the poor. And as I've mentioned before, I believe it is a truth that there are times when we will give to somebody in need or somebody that has presented themselves as in need, and later on we find out that maybe it wasn't a need and maybe they used the money for other purposes that they should not have. And yet, what was our reason for giving it? If our reason was out of charity, true charity, like 1 Corinthians 13 charity, if that was the purpose, to give in love, I believe the Lord, and I've experienced this, I believe the Lord blesses us, even if it went to the wrong purposes. Now, I do believe we should be diligent, but there, instead of being bitter and going, oh, I just gave, oh, that's not going to help us any. That's not going to help our spirit. You know, in those cases, we just say, oh my, well, Lord knows, and the Lord still blesses us. I've experienced it. Okay, Proverbs 28, verse 27. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes. Our text talks about covering his ears. He that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Okay, let's take a look at Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 7 here. The Lord is speaking to Israel, and he's talking about the fasts that they have, which are so hypocritical. He says in Isaiah 58, 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? They're complaining to God. We fasted, and you didn't see. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. He says, in the day that you, this is the Lord now speaking. He's answering their question. He says, in that day that you fasted, you found pleasure. You didn't treat it as a fast day. You know, when we are truly fasting for a person or ourselves or a particular need or direction in life, we need to cut out the pleasures of life. It's not like the aesthetics do, and they abuse themselves and whip themselves and cut themselves to try to draw nigh to God. But we cut out the pleasures of this life, and we focus our attention on the Lord. Here he says, "Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure." And exact all your labors. He says there's nothing different. You're being hypocritical. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this the fast that I have instructed you to hold? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and display sackcloth and ashes under him? You know, the dramatic aspect that these Jews were doing to make themselves look like they're so penitent and that they were drawing nigh to God. All drama. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now notice what the kind of fast the Lord wants to see. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Those are the things that God wants us to do. And he talks about hiding ourselves from our own flesh. Our benevolence begins with the house of God. We first of all look at the needs of our own people. We don't go and focus on others while people within our own congregation are going without the necessities of life. But it does extend out of our congregation as well. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 24 now. Bit of a different concept here, but it still has to do with advocating for others. And this is so in our text in Proverbs 21, verse 18, the context was verse 13. The context was mostly in reference to the poor. and most likely to do with their financial or material needs. Thinking about this whole concept of stopping our ears at the cries of those, look at Proverbs 24:11-12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? These two verses are verses that I find really convicting. And I particularly find them convicting in the light of those that are drawn unto death, and I think of those that are aborted, babies that are aborted, that have no way to protect themselves. They have no voice to advocate for themselves. And so we know that they are drawn unto death. And, you know, are we to stop our ears? Are we to close our eyes to that? I believe the answer is obvious, that no, we are not to do that. And, as you know, one of my hopes this year is that we as a church would start to work towards speaking to the hearts of those that are contemplating abortion. Not that we would join hand in hand with the other pro-life movements. You know, we can certainly appreciate what they do, but at the same time, we cannot become ecumenical and mix with them, because then we're going to be putting ourselves in a position of compromise. And to be honest, really, we will probably accomplish more on our own than we would a small group joining with the larger group anyway. Yesterday there was a sale on website domains, and so for $4 I picked up another domain, and this is one that I hope would be used for a bit of a call to action for people within our church and even within our like-minded independent Baptist churches, to really to rally people to be involved in a pro-life movement. And the website address that I was able to get was "Who will speak for me?" You know, from the concept, from the point of view of that child, that unborn baby, who will speak for me? And so I'd ask you to be in prayer for what the Lord could have you do. It's not a financial thing. It's about writing articles and giving testimonies, personal testimonies, that could be used on a website to reason with the heart of that person who is thinking about having an abortion. So let's not stop our ears, let's not close our eyes. Now let's take a look at Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. We see what happens to us when we close our eyes and stop our ears to those that are in need. So Psalms chapter 18, verses 40 and 41. Psalms 18, 40 and 41. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there is none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. There will be a time when people will cry, and God will not answer. They shall not be heard. You know, we have to imagine that when the Lord closed the door on the ark, that there, as soon as that rain started coming down, people started saying, oh my, this is what that guy was preaching about. And you can imagine people banging on the door, screaming, asking for them to be let in. They'd passed the day. The door was shut. The Lord closed it, in fact. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. So we ought not to continue in sin and think, well, I'll just keep doing this, and when I reach the end of what I want to do, then I'll just turn to the Lord. Because there will be times when the Lord will not hear us. If we have been continuing in known sin, and we've passed that sort of time frame of grace, Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer them. Sorry, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Again, there's that time when we need to respond to the Lord at a certain point and not delay. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Isaiah 1, 15 through 18. Or through 17. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Like, spread forth your hands in prayer. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So if a person comes to the Lord with known sin on their hands, and they're not willing to deal with it, they're fighting the Lord on it, and they're coming to him for something totally different, the Lord's going to say, no. First deal with that sin that you have, and then I will hear you. You know, he says, I'll hide mine eyes from you. You'll make many prayers. I won't hear. Your hands are full of blood. First of all, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. He will hear the prayer of repentance every time, if it's true repentance. And again, there's that aspect of the day of grace and whether a person has gone past that day of grace. But usually, it seems that if a person has passed that day of grace and they're unrepentant for so long, that oftentimes they cannot seem to even find repentance, where they cannot repent. And there's a lot of mystery associated with that. Sometimes we got to be careful. We don't. If the Bible is truth, it provides all that we need about a certain subject. We want to be careful not to mystify it. But there are certain things about God that we acknowledge we do not know, and we will certainly learn about more later. But there does appear to be an end point of God's grace if we continue in sin. Zechariah chapter 7, so the second last book of the Old Testament, verse 9 through 13. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. So let's not stop our ears, close our eyes to the needs of others. And particularly as we sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us and saying, this is for you to help out. You have the ability to help this person. I'm going to have you do that, he says to us. And then in those cases, you know, when the Lord's spoken to us, we got to be careful not to fight it. Okay, let's go back into our text. We'll look at verse 14, Proverbs 21:14. Gift in secret pacifieth anger. Okay, let's take a look here. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. Now, a person may wonder about this verse and say, well, okay, how does that work? Because we know that the scripture says that there are people that will give gifts to pervert justice and judgment, essentially giving a bribe. And that happens all over the world. Corruption, where you'll get some, like maybe a drug lord, let's say, for example, that goes and runs roughshod over people, either one person or a group of people, and that they're, you know, brought up into a court of law over it, and they go and they slip the judge some money or some promise or something, and the judge says, no, what he did is fine, everything's okay here. That's perverting justice. This is not speaking about perverting justice. This is about when there's animosity, when there's anger, when somebody is offended. And, you know, a gift can be something simple. It could even be a kind word where you show kindness to that person. Let's take a look at a few other verses. And so we'll see in these verses, we'll see some that are in reference to giving a bribe. We're not going to be doing that ourselves. So Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. It's viewed as a precious stone. Verse 23, the wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. We've spoken about this. Now that is wrong, clearly wrong. If we know that we're in the wrong in a matter, we don't try to smooth it over with a gift. We don't try to pervert justice or judgment. We make the change. We acknowledge our error. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Verse 19 doesn't speak specifically about gifts, but it speaks about winning a brother. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and the contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, when someone has taken offense, we want to show them great kindness. And if the Lord does instruct us to give a gift or something, sometimes it can pacify anger, as we see in our text. But the purpose is not to pervert the right. It's not to try to influence people to either do sin or to countenance sin, to allow sin to be countenanced. Instead, we're basically just trying to build a bridge back, you know, where maybe the bridge has broken. Okay, so we'll end with those thoughts. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we think of these two verses that we looked at this morning, these two verses in our text and then the other verses along with them. We pray that you would help us not to stop our ears to the cry of the poor, that we would be there, we would advocate for those that are drawn unto death, those that are not guilty of death, but who are drawn unto death. Lord, and as we think about the area of pacifying anger, Lord, we pray that we'd be quick to build bridges with those that are offended, that are upset, Lord, that we would not in any way try to excuse our own sin by bringing a gift, but Lord, that we would be like Abigail, who brought David gifts when her husband had offended him. We would be like Jesse sending gifts to David's captain, Lord, as a bridge building and a sign of appreciation. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts in the morning worship service. Be there any that are still traveling, we ask for safety. We pray for those that are sick. We ask for healing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.